We're on Daf Ayin Omid Beis, learning the Agadot about the deficits and the dangers of drinking wine, within the context, of course, of the Parsha Ben Sora Moreh. We spoke about the fact that Eilecha Dover Shenevi Yilala Li Adam El Yayin. Of all the drinks in the world, the one that's most dangerous brings upon a person the most deficits and dangers. Yilala means sorrow, wailing, crying, is yayin, is intoxicating beverages. And now the Gemara is going to analyze a perek in Sefer Mishle of Shlomo HaMelech that presents a musashmuz, if you will, from Batsheva, Shlomo HaMelech's mother, to Moshe himself. And the pasuk starts by addressing Shlomo HaMelech as Mu'el, and at this point we assume that Mu'el means Lemo, from the Lemuel. Lemuel means Lamo El, towards God. And this is the name of Shlomo HaMelech. He's towards God because his chachma is meant to bring him and to be dedicated to the service of Hashem. However, this particular perek in Mishle, perek Lamed Aleph, records the castigation, the musar, that Batsheva gives her son Shlomo HaMelech because he is dedicated to indulging in worldly pleasures. And Batsheva admonishes him for this. She doesn't think that this indulgence is anything more than sinful. And for sure, relative to the stature of Shlomo HaMelech. And therefore, this perek is introduced with the word maso, which literally means prophecy. Because when Shlomo HaMelech presents the view of his mother and the chastisement of his mother, he sees it as a prophetic message, and we'll see soon that he takes it to heart. And Divrei Lemuel ben Masa Asher Yisrato Imo, his mother admonishes him. And what did she say to him? What form or what content was the admonition? Omar Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Melamed Shekfa'ato Imo Al Ha'omud. She literally bound him to a post, if you take the pasuk literally. And the reason for that is the word Yisar, which is here in the pasuk in a verb form, Yisarto, which usually means, based on a Gemara later on, to give someone malchus. So when, just like is a person who is a criminal and is condemned for malchus because of his violation, he is tied down to a post and then they flog him. That's what Bezdin has to do. Here too, her words of chastisement are like a flogging, as if to say Batsheva bound King Solomon to a post, preparing to flog him, meaning to chastise him. V'yomelon, this is the content of what she said to him. And again, the pasuk divides up into three parts. Each part has to be understood. Ma bari, uma bar bitni, umar bar nidorai. All three reflect relationships between a mother and her child. Bari literally means a son. Bar bitni means the son of my womb. And Bar Nidori means the son of my vows, because a woman in pregnancy takes vows, as we'll soon see. Ma bari, first we explain the first phrase in this pasuk. What are you, my son? In other words, what are you doing, these sinful things that you're guilty of, even though you're my son? Hakol yodim shavicha yirei shamayim haya. Everyone knows that your father, Melech David, is a God-fearing man, and now you're doing things which are sinful. Achshav yomru, who are they going to blame it on? They can't blame it on your father. They can blame it on me, your mother, Imo Garmalo. It was I who caused you to sin. When people realize that you, my son, are dedicated to worldly pleasures, to indulgence, they're not going to assume that this trait you inherited from your father. Everyone knows that your father's a God-fearing person. But people are going to say, you know what? Melech Shlomo, he takes after his mother Bathsheba. She's probably not the righteous one here. Those are the genes that are being transferred. That's called Ma Bari. Then we get to Mar Uma Bar Bitni. What does that mean, Bar Bitni? And now we're talking about the period of pregnancy. Kol Anoshim Shel Beis Avicha, all the women who have a part in your father's household, meaning they became pregnant from your father. Kevin Shemis Abros Shuvenim Ros Pnei Amelech. At this point, they are no longer involved in an intimacy with your father, King Melech David, once they become pregnant. But I'm different. Why? I need a chakti v'nechnasti. I push myself into his inner chambers in order to have a relationship with HaKadosh Yeli ben Mizoraz Umaluban. And this Gemara here can only be understood in the light of a Gemara in Nida. The Gemara in Nida says that a woman has 3/3 of pregnancy. During the last third, if she has a relationship with her husband, that helps the fetus develop. And what impact does this intimacy have? The child becomes Mizoraz and Meluban. Very difficult to translate those words and the difference between them. Mizuras, Milosh, and Zirus is a person who has alacrity. He's got energy, and he's dedicated to use his energy. Meluban, which literally means fair, means a certain kind of complexion. In any event, the child develops in this way, you know, through the intimacy of his mother who's carrying him or her in the third trimester of pregnancy with his father or her father, the father of the child, and that creates a certain positive impact on the child. So this is what I did, she tells Shlomo HaMelech, in order to produce a child which would have the endowments of these positive features, and yet you turned out to be someone who's pursuing worldly pleasures. You're indulging. You're the son of my womb. I cared for you. I was concerned for you. I was preparing your greatness even while you were in the womb, and you've disappointed me. And then we get to the third phrase, Uma Bar Nidorai. Women during pregnancy take vows. Kol Anoshim Shel Beis Avich. All the women who were married to your father, Hayu Nodros, what was the substance of their vows? Yehali ben Hagun Lamalchus, I supplicate you, God, for a child who would be able to take over the kingship. That was the focus of the mother's prayers. Vanina Dati Vamarti, but I, says Bathsheba, I took a different kind of neder. To me, whether you become the Melech is secondary, but Yehali ben Zariz Umamula Bitorah Vahagun Linavius, I'm praying for a child who has the midah of Zrizus, who wants to take his Torah knowledge and implement it with Zrizus, who's a person who's Roy, who's suitable for receiving the divine revelation through Nevuah. This is, and the truth is that this is a model for every mother as she goes through pregnancy. What should she be praying for? She wants to pray, and she should want to pray, for a child that's fit for prophecy. For example, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, based on the Sugya Gemara, that a woman should not give over her child to nurse from a non-Jewish source, a non-Jewish woman, because Pesha Asid L'Dabra Mashchina. That's the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu we knew was a Pesha Asid L'Dabra Mashchina. The answer is, and this I heard in the name of Yaakov Kamenetsky, is that every mother should be praying that her child should have the potential to receive Nevuah. And therefore, I, says Bathsheba, I prayed for a son, not being royal or malchus, but rather a son who would be filled with Torah knowledge, dedicated to the Torah, to fulfillment of Hashem, to become a prophet. And yet, now what do I see? I see that you're living in a world of pleasure, of indulgence. How can you, the product of my vows, stray after the pleasures of this world? And now, she castigates him in a similar vein, regarding wine. El Lamalochim Lemoel El Lamalochim Shiso Yayin. Now here the word Lamoel takes on a different meaning. It's no longer towards God or dedicated to God, but rather it refers to kings who declare Lama Lanu El, why do we need God? And what are these kings doing with their life? They don't need God. They're drunk with wine. Shesuye Yayin. El Lamalachim, don't turn to the kings. Amrlo Batsheva tells her son, Malachaitza Malachim, don't enjoy the company of kings, don't duplicate and learn from these kings. Sheshosim Yayim Ishtakrim, all they're interested in is getting drunk, enjoying the drinking of the wine, the intoxication. Omrim Lama Lanu El, these are the kings who say, why do we need God? Uleroznim Eshechar. And isn't it true that these rulers, these Roznim, which are called rulers, are asking, where is the drink? Where's the intoxicating drink? Now, why does Batsheva address King Shlomo HaMelech as Roznim? Why that word Roznim? And the Gemara analyzes that the source, the root of the word Roznim is Roz is secrets. Mi shekol Rozei Olam Gluyim Lo. The word Roznim as a description of Shlomo is appropriate because he has the wisdom, and through his wisdom all the secrets of the world were revealed to him. And Yishte Yayin V'Yishtaker, now he's going to dedicate himself to drinking wine and getting drunk, intoxication. And basically she was telling Shlomo HaMelech, you know these secrets, and you're on a higher level through your wisdom, through your knowledge and appreciation of God, and now you indulge in the drinking of wine. Also keep in mind that since Rosne comes from the word Roz, which means secrets, that you know the secrets of the world, well, Nichnas Yayin Yotza Sod, you will, as a result of your intoxication, reveal all these secrets. These are secrets that you should keep to themselves. Don't reveal them when you're drunk. Ika Diamri, there's another interpretation of this last pasuk of Kol Rosne Olam Gluyim Lo. Imagine the people who are contemplating Rosne Olam. They are intellectuals, they are delving into the secrets of the world, they are philosophers who contemplate the meaning of the world, and they arrive early on your door, knocking on your door. They want to engage you in discussion, seek out your counsel. And who are you? Yishta Yayin Vishtaker. You're going to drink wine and become drunk? How can you possibly guide them if you're involved in drinking? Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayin Shechaza Shlomo Vahoda Le'imo. And what's the source for the assumption that Shlomo Melch was impacted by his mother's words? They penetrated into his heart, and he had charata, he was choserbo, and then he admitted to his mother that he was wrong, dechsiv, because Shlomo Melech says about himself, this is in a different chapter in Mishlei, in Perek Lamed, there he declares, ki bar anochi, I am a foolish person, me'ish. Now focus on the word ish, because v'lo binas adam lo, he doesn't have the understanding of an adam, so he starts with an ish and ends with an adam. Why that shift? Both words are synonymous of man. So the Gemara now analyzes, based on the rules of Drush, that there's a contrast, there's a difference between two men. One is called an Ish, and the other is called an Adam. The Ish is an allusion to Noach. The Siv Ayochal, after Noach comes out of the Teva, Ayochal Noach Ish Ha'adama. And that's the beginning of the story of Noach getting drunk. And he's called an Ish. V'lobinas Adam li. And who is Adam? Sa Adam Arishon. Now the Gemara on the top of this Amud had suggested, according to one opinion, that the Eitz Hadas from which Adam ate and violated the will of God was indeed grapes, and he made it into wine. So I, says Shlomo HaMelech, admit the following. I should have learned from both Ish and Adam, from both Adam and Noach, who disgraced themselves by indulging in the drinking of wine. And instead, I got involved in drinking. This is a hodas baldin, a confession of guilt on the part of Shlomo HaMelech. And now we get back to the Mishnah defining the conditions necessary for a chiyuv of Ben Sora Mora. We're talking about stealing, we're talking about buying meat and eating the meat gluttonously, wine. Amol b'chaburas mitzvah, but if the drinking of wine took place in a gathering that involved some sort of kiyuma mitzvah, then the child could not be condemned as a ben soru morer based on a shtia b'chaburas mitzvah. Rabbi Avo, einol chayv, when is he chayv? Ad sheyochal b'chabura shekula srikin. In other words, there's no one in that group that he's drinking with, none of his companions, that are worth anything. They're all srikin. The chabura is not made up of one person who could possibly influence him in the right way, but rather these are worthless individuals. They have no merits. Srikin are what we would call in our language good for nothings. They're good for absolutely nothing. As an Elon Strak is a barren tree, Rabbi Avo basically is teaching that when this young boy, who's 13 years old, gluttonously stuffs himself, gorges himself with a group of worthless companions, this is going to bring him to the state of addiction. If, on the other hand, there's some person in the group of good reputation who will hopefully rebuke him, as we saw in the case of Atsheva rebuking her son Shlomo, this gives us room for optimism that the boy will not become totally addicted, etc., etc., becoming a ben soru more. The Gemara is not sure about Rabbi Avo. V'anan t'nan, our Mishnah says, aval b'chaburas mitzvah eino nasa ben soru more. Any chabura will make him into a ben soru more. If he's drinking gluttonously, etc., etc., we don't analyze who the makeup of that chabura is. The contrast is, the exclusion rule is, chaburas mitzvah. Taima de mitzvah, lav mitzvah. If the gathering, if this group of drinking people were not involved in a mitzvah, then afal gav de lav kula srikin, even if the group is made up of some people who are worth something, others are srikin, there are members of the group that are reputable, nevertheless he becomes a ben soru morer. And this conflicts with Rabbi Avo. Because again, reviewing Rabbi Avo's shita is that in order to become ben soru morer, the group has to of people with whom he's drinking has to be made up exclusively of these low people. Even if there's one member of the group who's worth something, then the din of ben soru morer doesn't apply. Our Mishnah only suspends the application of the chiyuv ben soru morer at a simcha shel mitzvah, at a sudas chaburas mitzvah, implying that in any other chabura, even if there are reputable members of the group, he still would generate a chiyuv of ben soru morer. The Gemara answers, no, that's not a proof. And you can still defend Rabbi Avo in the light of the Mishnah. What the Mishnah wants to teach us is afal gav de kula srikin, in the case of a chabura shel mitzvah, even though it was the same kind of chabura that would have generated the chiyuv of ben sorma, because it's made up of totally exclusively of srikin, of good for nothings, since Came a mitzvah kosik. They were involved in a mitzvah. The eating and the drinking was at a gathering of a mitzvah. Lo mimshich. Such a mitzvah would not in any way generate the kind of addiction that could lead to men so remora. But enochinami, the flip side, in the case where there is no mitzvah and it's made up exclusively of srikin, that chabura, that achiwa, that shasiyah would generate a chiyuv of ben sorumor. So there's no stira at the end of the day between the Mishnah and Rabbi Avo. The Mishnah says, Ochal bi'ibra chodesh. You remember that the month has to be determined as either a chaser or a mole, 29 days or 30 days. And this was the responsibility of the Bezna Gadol. And then, when they determined exactly the nature of the month, towards the end of the month, whether it's a chaser or mole, then they would take the day and sanctify it, be mekadesh it as Rosh Chodesh. They knew, let's say, for example, if it's a mole, then the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh, because the 29th day is the last day of the month. The 30th now becomes the first day of the next month. And if they didn't do anything, then the sanctification would be on the 31st day. Now, in the case where they would sanctify the 30th day because the month was determined to be a chaser, a 29-day month, then they would have to publicize the fact that the new month would begin, Rosh Chodesh would begin, on day 30. So they gathered together 10 people, and they, you know, going into the 31st day, in order to publicize that the 31st day is Rosh Chodesh, what they would do is they would gather together and make this kind of public seuda. That's the gathering. So this is Nesek de Lefarsimo Shehu Hu Rosh Chodesh. Now, what did they eat at this seuda? From the sugya and our Mishnah of Ben Somer, it would seem that they were drinking wine and eating meat. So the Gemara says, that's not so. I don't understand. The name of the boss of the Yayin Masku, you know, there was an attic where this gathering took place, and that's where they determined the nature of the month. They would go up with Yayin and Bosa. That's not true. For Asanya, we have a Brisa that records exactly what was the makeup, the recipe, the tafrit for that Seuda. And what was the menu? It says, Einola Ella the Pas Dagon V'Kidneys Milvat. It was a bread that was made of grains. There are any of the five species of grains. And kidneys are what we call legumes or beans. So then our Mishnah is teaching us that a boy, in order to become Ben Soru Morer, has to eat at a meal that's not in any way a Kiyuma Mitzvah here. In the case of Ibra Chodesh, there's a Kiyuma Mitzvah involved, but and therefore that's Mafkiya, that undermines the Parsha, the Chiyuv of Ben Sorma. That's not true. There's no meat and there's no wine. So you don't have to introduce the element of Mitzvah here. So the Gemara says, Kakamashmalon, the Mishnah wants to teach us an extra Chidush, Af Al Gav Dien Olin Law El Bepas V'Kitnios. True. What was brought to this meal was bread and beans. But v'iyu, but he, this child, this youngster of 13 years old, asik, he brings with him basar v'yayin v'yochal, and he steals money from his father, and he buys this very special meat and special wine, and he drinks it up in that seuda. No one else, mind you, has basar v'yayin except for him. And he eats it gluttonously. His kavon to be mitzvah kosik lo mimshich. Nevertheless, since there's a kiyuma mitzvah, albeit the rabbanon here in this suda, it's not like a sudas mitzvah of bris milah, pidgin aben, or simchas yontif. But nevertheless, it's enough of a mitzvah so that the rule of thumb is it would not cause any sort of addiction, and therefore this achilas basar shtiyas yayin would not be mechayiv him b'toras ben sorumor. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Ein Olim B'Ibra Chodesh Pachos Me'asar B'nei Adam. We need a minimum of 10 people to publicize the fact that we have determined the month to be the previous month to be a Choser or a Mole. V'Ein Olim Lo El B'Pas Dogon V'Kitnios. And this meal is made up of nothing more than grain bread and beets. So this meal is not constituted by any meat or wine, but it's the constitution of the meal is very basic. It doesn't say why that's so. V'ein olim la ela li'ar iburo. And when do they go on? That's only in the evening, right after they've determined the nature of the month. In other words, if they determined that the month has 30 days, the day... Day number 30 is called Yom HaIbur, and that will integrate that 30th day into the previous month. So the previous month now is extended by a day. And now, Or HaIbur, on the following evening, which is the eve going into the 31st, which is going to be Rosh Chodesh, that's when they go up to this attic and they have this public meal to declare and to proclaim Rosh Chodesh. V'ein olim la bayom ela balayla. When do they go up to eat this meal and make this public knowledge? That's only during the day and not at night. In other words, according to the Braisa, it would seem that they only go up on the evening following day number 30, meaning the evening or Lamed Aleph, going into the 31st day, and it's only at night. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, V'asanya, we have a Braisa, Ein Olim Lo Balayla El Bayom. Just the opposite is true, that they go up by day and not by night, which makes a lot of sense, because by day, that's when you'll have a Pirsum. Or shall we say, no, by night there's an element of Pirsum, because during the day people aren't available. They're all busy at work. But at night, that's when we do the Pirsum. Is kida omar abchiya bar abba libnei. This would reflect the statement of Rabchiya to his son, achrifu viulo achrifu ufuku, which literally means go up and go down early in the morning. So they would go up to the meal while it's still day. The meal is going to be held that night. They would descend early in the morning. Is kihechi delishmu bechu inchi. In order to publicize, make sure I hear about it. That means there's no steer in the brisos. They both agree that the members of the group, the 10 people, would go up during the day, so that people would realize, hey, there's something going on over here, but they didn't eat the Suda until after nightfall. So the first Braisa, which says that they went up to the meal at night, that doesn't mean they went up after nightfall, but rather they began the meal after nightfall. In fact, they went up during the day. That's when the noisy, the noisy gathering attracts attention, so there was more publicity during the day than at night. But on the other hand, the second Braisa is teaching us that the participants, these 10 people who went up to the meal, they would do so during the day, but they only ate the meal at night. So they would descend before sunrise, shall we call it Zricha Sachama, and that's really at night. So they would go up by day, but they didn't eat the Suda until night. And this would guarantee the maximum publicity. It's interesting, I'll mention in passing, the Shitas Aravid, and this you'll find in Hilchus Megillah, and also at the end of Hilchus Brachos, is that regarding Rosh Chodesh, the mitzvah of Halil requires a bracha, even though Halil is a minog on Rosh Chodesh, and we usually don't make a bracha on a minig, like Chibut HaRav, we don't make a bracha on, it's only a minig Nevi'im. Here too, in the case of Rosh Chodesh, we should recite Hal without a bracha. Says the Raivin, no, we're going to recite it with a bracha, Kedei Lefarsimo Shehu Rosh Chodesh. We see that there's a chiyuv, not just to be Makadesh the Chodesh, but also to publicize exactly when, which day was Rosh Chodesh. The Mishnah says, Achal Maiser Sheni B'Yushalayim. This is another kind of Achila Shal Mitzvah. And Kevan de chiorche hu de ka'ochele lo mimshech. In other words, he's using this money. Again, this was money that was the kedusha of the miser was transferred over to this money. Now he's taking this money and he's buying food and eating that food in Yerushalayim. That's the normal way. That's the way the Torah requires you to use the miser shein. It's got to be with an achila in Yerushalayim. And that's exactly what is going on over here. This boy, so we emphasize that the food was purchased by, or shall I say, was redeemed onto money, is because the Ben Sora Mor is only chayv because of stealing money and then buying food. So he must have stolen money that had Kedushas Maaseh Sheni because it was a pigeon money, and he bought food and ate it in Yerushalayim, and since he's eating it the way that the Torah requires eating, the Torah designates this money to buy food and eat, to be eaten in Yerushalayim, that kiyum is a kiyum of mitzvahs maaseh sheni, and it would not generate a kind of addiction and a chiyuv ben soru mor. Now what about the flip side, the other extreme? What happens if the ben soru mor is involved in eating macholas asuros? The Mishnah goes on to tell us that ochal nevelos trefus kosim rvasim, any forbidden food is mafkia the chiyuv, there's no longer chiyuv ben soru mor omarava, but ochal basar of, when we speak about basar, and we're saying that if he had eaten basar, had it been kosher meat, he would be chayav. If it's non-kosher meat, he's potter. That whole discussion and that whole distinction doesn't apply to basar of, to what we call chicken. Eino nasa ben sorumor, because the Torah specifies basar. And basar of, chicken, is not considered basar. Therefore, no matter how much kosher chicken he would gluttonously consume, he would not become a ben soru mor because that's not called basar. So the Gemara right away asks, but our Mishnah says, "Va'anan tnan aval ochal nevelos utrefos shkotzim viramosim eino nasa ben soru mor hatahorim." Had any of these categories been tahor, is there nasa ben soru mor? The pashtus is that an avela applies even to a bird. So we're talking about non-kosher birds, and he's not chayav for ben soru mor. Whereas Rava says that the issue of birds is not at all relevant. Here the Mishnah seems to imply that had he eaten kosher bird, he would become a ben soru mor. And the Gemara answers, there are two dinim. Kitnan nami masnisin lahashlim. There's one din of the Ikar Machayev. The Ikar Machayev, says Rava, has to be meat, and it's got to be kosher meat. Oaf, the meat of chicken, of fowl, is not considered basar as far as the Ikar Machayev. But then there's a din of Ashlam, a second din. And if you remember, the Mishnah had established that the minimum volume of meat that the Ben Soru Mor has to have eaten is a tartema shel basar. So what happens in a case where he ate meat, but it didn't reach the shiur of tartema shel basar, that quantity of meat which is a tartema? So let's say, for example, if he would eat just one kezias worth of chicken in order to complete the shear of tartemar. So most of what he ate was basar. The last kezias was a piece of chicken. So if that last kezias of fowl is from a non-kosher fowl, then he's not chayv as a ben soru morer. But if he was eating a kosher piece of chicken from a kosher animal, etc., etc., then he becomes ben soru mor, because rov of the tartemar consists of eating of animal meat, and therefore that rov is enough to engender that kind of addiction that will lead him to becoming a ben sorer umor. Now there's another piece in the Mishnah that the Gemara wants to analyze, and that is that the Mishnah says that a boy does not become a ben soru mor, he's poka, if he was eating together with a group of mitzvah people. Or, on the other extreme, if he consumed macholas asuros. Then the Mishnah goes on to say that if a boy is involved in a dvar mitzvah, then he's exempt from the ben tzor mor. In other words, that which is a mitzvah, that which is an avera. And the Gemara wants to know, why did the Mishnah feel compelled to add this dvar mitzvah? Some sort of chiddush here that the Mishnah wanted to add. Because again, the Mishnah had already excluded anything that's not a mitzvah. It has to be a, what was the language of the Mishnah? Let's go back to the Mishnah for a second. The Mishnah says it's got to be a regular chabura, but chaburas mitzvah is excluded. And now, what is the Mishnah repeating itself and saying? Dovashu mitzvah is excluded. Same thing. There's an extra superfluous phrase here. Shu avera. After all, the Mishnah has already told us that ochal shkotzim v'ramasim avails the treifus. He's potter. So it must be an extra chiddush in these words of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says the following: Dvar mitzvah comes to include even tanchume avelim. This is called the sudas havra. We mentioned it in the past, that the first suda after the burial of the dead has to be served by the neighbors to the avelim, to those members of the family who are sitting shiva. And that su'udas havra has the status of a dvar mitzvah. And without this extra ribui in the Mishnah, we would have thought that maybe only in a mitzvah d'oraisa, like for example a kohen who eats kodshim, or somebody eating the Korban Pesach, or the Meister Sheni case where you're eating Yerushalayim, that's called a Dvar Mitzvah. But something which is only a Mitzvah Derabbanon, like for example, the case of Sudas Havra, that's not considered Mitzvah. And therefore, on a Doraisa level, he's Chayef for Ben Tzor Mor, Komashma, no. Any Kiyuma Mitzvah, even a Derabbanon, is enough. And that's called a Sudas Havra, the first meal after the burial that's served by the neighbors to the relative who's sitting shiva. And this is all based on the Chachamim's envision of how to fulfill the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. Now, if this boy partakes in the meat in order to fulfill this mitzvah derabbanon of Nichum Avelim, that itself is mafkia, that achilas basar from the chiyuv of ben sor umor. Now the Rambam seems to assume, perhaps, I mean you have to really investigate this very carefully, that every meal eaten in the Beis Avel is part of this Nichum Avelim, and it's Mufka from the Chiyuv of Ben Sor Mora. That's an interesting discussion unto itself, perhaps not for us now. Now, Dvar Avera, what is the Mishnah coming to add in the case of Dvar Avera? Tanios, Tanis, Tzibur. Right, there are four Tanios, Tzibur, that have been established as public days because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, tragic events in Jewish history, and we have to fast Midrabbanon on these days, and this Ben Tzor Mor, after stealing money and buying meat and drink and wine, he is gluttonously stuffing, gorging himself on a public fasting. And in such a case, he's potter. Now here's the irony of it. It's a little bit counterintuitive. On the one hand, we're saying that a Ben Tzor Morer has rebelled against his parents, and therefore he should be put to death. Here, he's not only rebelling against his parents, because he certainly stole this money to eat glutinously, but not only that, he's also transgressing the Torah law, which means he's rebelling against the Torah. So Kol Shekein should be chayav. So the Gemara says, "Time on my," but there's a source in the Torah. On my Kra, the pasuk says, "Einenu shomer bekolenu." The parents bring him to the Bezdin, and they declare that he's not listening to our voice. They're not complaining that he is rebelling against God, just he's rebelling against them, his own parents, defying their authority. Is v'lova kol shomakam. This is coming to exclude the case of a boy who, for example, eats on a fast day, and therefore he is not only rebellious against God, he's defiant against his parents, he's also defiant against God, and he ignores and violates the mitzvahs of Hashem. So again, you would have said, Kal v'chomer, he should be chayim, but that's the Xeris HaKosev, that he's potter in such a case. Achal kol machol, the Mishnah says that if he ate anything, v'lo achal basar. And we're going to see that there are things that are addictive, even though it's not technically basar. Shasa kol mashke, that may be intoxicating beverages, v'lo shasa yayin, which do not have that alcoholic content like yayin. And in all these cases, despite the fact that there could be down the line some sort of addiction, the Torah says that he cannot become a ben sorer moritz, must be basar and yayin. Now, ochal kol machal v'lo ochal basar. So what is that coming to teach us? The Mishnah has already said that he's chayav eating meat. The answer is lasuye dvela ki'ilis. They used to make these dvelas. They would take the figs and press them hard into a round sort of a cake, right? A fig cake, and even today we have something similar. Now it came from a country called Keila. That's where they used to produce these pressed figs in a round form called a gule dvela. And these are in fact intoxicating. And despite the fact that these are intoxicating, we don't consider them addictive enough that a boy who gluttonously engages in the eating and gorges himself in the eating of iguli tvela would be chayv ben soramor because it addicts him. It's not the consumption, he has to be the erish for the top class, and that's going to be basar mamish. Shasa kol mashkelo shasa yayin lasuye dvash v'cholav, because honey and milk are intoxicating. But the Torah says no, there's no substitute for wine. And even though this young man is drinking intoxicants, but nevertheless he's not drinking wine. So it's a din in the cheftz shel yayin, and not a din in the intoxication. If it were a din in intoxication, then it would apply even for smoking marijuana, let's say, or in this case for imbibing and gorging himself with the gulei dvelo or dvash v'cholov, all these things that are addictive. But no, the Torah says basar v'yayin. Tesanya, we learned in the brisa, ochal dvela ki'ilis v'shasa dvash v'cholov. Okay, now we're talking about Shesu Yayin, a separate law for a Kohen who's a Shesu Yayin to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Here, the Kohen did not drink wine, but he was guilty of eating and drinking other intoxicating food items. And then Nichnas LeMikdash, in that state of being Shasui, he goes in, is Chayef. He's chayev for bias migdash. In other words, a kohen is not allowed to enter to the migdash after he has consumed anything that's intoxicating. And again, the punishment for bias migdash is a severe one. There, the chiyuv for bias migdash b'shasu is not a din in the cheftz shel yayin, but it's a din in shikrus, in any state of intoxication whatsoever. And therefore, he'll be chayev for bias migdash. But when we talk about the chiyuv of ben sorer morer, anything that's intoxicating is not enough. He's got to whittle it down and specify that he is being intoxicated by achilas basar, intoxicated by shesias yayin. The Mishnah says, "Eino nase ben sorer umore ad sheyochal basar v'yishte yayin." Tan rabbanon, ochal kol machol v'lo ochal basar. Shasa kol mashke v'lo shasa yayin. Eino nase ben sorer umore ad sheyochal basar v'yishte yayin. Shenemar zolel v'sove. Why has it got to be a cheftz shel yayin? Why does it have to be a cheftz shel basar? No other intoxicating foods or drinks which might generate addiction are included in the Chiyuv Ben Sorer Morer, and that's going to be derived from the words Zolel Visove. The Alpha Pishain Raya Ledover Zeche Ledover. The Brisa quotes an allusion, or not exactly a proof, but sort of like a hint or an indication, because the Pasuk says, And this is a pasuk in Mishle again. It says, "Altia besov eyayin bezole basolama." So the word zolel is connected to basar, and the word sove is connected to yayin. So when we speak about zolel v'sove, we're talking about meat and wine. The cheft of basar, the cheft of yayin. The omer in the pasuk says, "Ki tove v'zolel yivaresh ukraim talbish numa." So the pasuk here in Mishle, let's just translate the pasuk literally, that be not amongst the wine guzzlers and the gluttonous eaters of meat. So we see clearly that the word sove is connected to yayin, the word zol is connected to basar. Those are the two things that are mechayev him for ben sorumar. Om Rab Zera, kol ayoshen bebeis hamedrash, toroso nasis lo kroim kroim, shenemar ukroim talbish numa. The Gemara is bringing now another drasha in an agadic sense for that same pasuk that we just read and derived from Mishle, that it's got to be drinking wine and eating meat in the case of Mensara Mora. The Gemara derives a totally different conclusion from the same pasuk, and that is that if a person sleeps in the base medrash, then his Torah becomes kroim kroim. It's kind of chopped up into pieces, tattered. It really means that he won't have a memory of the Torah that he learned. Now, I'm not sure if this is a punishment for the fact that he was not allowed to eat in the Beis Medrash, or in this case, not allowed to sleep in the Beis Medrash, or are we saying something totally different, that somehow the sleeping in the Beis Medrash is indicative of the fact that his Torah is crying, crying. It's really shattered and tattered into pieces. Now we start the new Mishnah. Here on Daf Ayin Aleph, Omen Aleph. The Mishnah is going to talk about the step-by-step process that engenders the chiyuv of Ben Soru Morin. Number one, he's got to steal. Number two, he's got to spend it on buy yayin and basar. And then he has to consume a certain minimum shear, as we discussed earlier in the previous Mishnah. Now, from whom does this Ben Soru Morin steal? And where the meat and wine must be consumed. Ganav mishal aviv. It's got to be that he stole from his father. The ochal bershus aviv. And he ate that which he purchased from the money that he stole in his father's reshus. But mishal achirim. V'ochal b'rshus acherim, or mishal acherim v'ochal b'rshus aviv, eino nasa ben soru mor, achi yigna mishal aviv v'ochal b'rshus acherim. So this phrase in the Mishnah, mishal acherim v'ochal b'rshus acherim, means that if he stole money from others, not from his father, and he ate in the reshus of acherim, in other words, he purchased meat and wine with money that he stole, and then consumes this meat and this food outside of his father's reshus. Or, for example, Mishel Acherim V'Ochal B'Rshus Aviv, or he stole from others and ate in the reshus of his father, Eino Nasa Ben Soromor. We need two conditions. Number one, Achi Yigno Mishel Aviv. It's not enough that he stole from others. And number two, V'Ochal Birshus Acherim. He has to eat the meat and drink the wine in the Rishus of Acherim. And all this the Gemara is going to explain in the Sugyas HaGemara. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheigno Mishal Aviv U'Mishal Imo. It's not enough that he steals from his father, he's got to steal from both his father and his mother. So in the Reisha of the Mishnah, the condition is stipulated that he has to not only steal from his father, but he doesn't eat in his father's reshus, but rather he eats in the reshus of Acherim. And for some reason, that combination of stealing from his father, and according to Rabbi Yossi, even his mother, and then he eats in Rishus Acherim, that's the Mechayev of Ben Sorumor. So the Gemara tries to understand what's going on here. Ganav Mishal Aviv v'ochal birshus aviv, if he not only stole from his father, but he also ate the meat and drank the wine in the rishus of his father, af al gav dishchiach lei, even though the money of his father is available, that's, he's not breaking into some store or some bank and robbing a bank, boys, nevertheless, he is afraid that his father will see that he went a step further and he took that stolen money and ate it within his rishus, his father's rishus. So his father's going to be aware, he's going to be a spectator and see that he's gorging himself. In such a case, he'll be a little bit, what word should I use, inhibited about continuing to do what he did. But if it's going to be Mishel Aviv, and he eats Bershus Acherim, and in such a case the money is available, but he's not afraid of being caught, everything seems to go smoothly for him, he's likely to become an addicted criminal. So again, in the three cases out of the four, where the Mishnah patters him up from being a Ben Sorer Morer, there's a certain challenge that he faces, which is going to deter. The whole thing is about a deterrent to prevent him from stealing, from becoming, addicted to stealing and a life of stealing. So in the first case that the Mishnah mentions, life was easy as far as stealing the money. His father's money was available, but he did something very difficult, very challenging, and he gorged himself in a way that his father might know about that. His father's going to come down very hard on him. There's a built-in deterrent. Or, for example, Mishel Acherim, there's a built-in deterrent because it's not always easy to steal from others. Even though Ochal Bershus Acherim, maybe in the case of Ochal Bershus Acherim, Afagav Delo Bois, his father won't find out about him, so there's no deterrent here on his part. But Lo Shchichole, but the money is not accessible. So he really had to work very hard to steal the money, and therefore that is a deterrent. V'kolshken how much more so Mishel Acherim v'yochol b'shus aviv, if he faces a double challenge. Number one, he has to steal from others. He has to rob a bank. That's very challenging, very daunting. And number two, he's got to eat in a way that his father might catch him and make him into a ben sorer morer lo shchiach lei ubois. So the money is not available, and he's also got this inner natural fear that his father will find him while he's gorging himself in the rishus aviv. In such a case, we have rights to assume, the Torah says, that he's not going to become a habitual ben soru morer who steals and indulges and so forth and so on. But now, on both factors, it's pretty relatively easy. He steals from his father, which is money that's accessible to him. Yochal b'shus acherim, he's eating somewhere on the face of the planet, but outside of his father's rishus. Shchiach lev lo bois, he's not afraid of being caught by his father. And not only that, the money is readily available, and he's stealing from his father. In such a case, we're afraid, the Torah is assuming, he'll become a habitual criminal. And who knows what he's going to do, even murder people in order to satisfy that addiction. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda Omer, Ad sheyignov Mishel Aviv uMishel Imo. He's got to steal from both his father and his mother. In other words, the premise of Rav Yossi is that the mother can own property. And the question is, if his mother is married to his father, then how does his mother have her own property? We have a rule in Ksuba that Mashakonsa Isha Kona Baila. And therefore, now, how does the Gemara know that they're married? Maybe they're divorced, and therefore she has her own financial base, her own ownership, her own possessions. The answer is because the Torah says in the Parashat Ben Soro, Einenu Shomea B'kol Aviv U'B'kol Imo. And that implies that they are married together. So the Gemara says, Imo, Minole, how does she own property? We have this rule that anything that she owns, again, this is a Drabonan rule, but the Maisa creates a bailus of the husband. And therefore, how do we talk about property that is owned by a woman? Again, Rashi asks the question that, you know, the Gemara makes sense if we're talking about Nichsei Tzom Barzel, which in the context and the framework of Ksuba transfers over to the ownership of the husband, but then there's something called Nichsei Malug, where Nichsei Malug, she remains the owner of the Karen, and the husband only gets rights to use the what we call a Kinyan Peros. But apparently even that is enough to establish, if you hold Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Aguf Dami, as if the possessions now belong, even in the case of Nichsei Malug, to the husband. And again, you know, you wonder why the Gemara couldn't have offered a very simple answer to this, where the father was Masalik himself from this Takana, from Yefshi B'Takanas Chachamim. I'd like her, my wife, to own things. Or perhaps she inherited it in such a way, or she received the gift in such a way that it was given to her exclusively for her own ownership. So let's see the Sugya, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Misa'uda muchenes li'aviv u'le'imo. We're talking about a case of a child who stole meat and wine from a sa'uda that was prepared for the father and the mother. In other words, technically, it's only the father who owns the food. That's not what Rabbi Yossi had in mind, but rather it was prepared for both the use of the father and the mother. Then it's as if he stole from his mother as well. And this is all based on the fact that the Torah obligates the father, what's called sher uksus, to support his wife. And therefore, when the son steals from a meal, a sa'uda, that was designated for his mother, in the context of the father's obligation to feed his mother, he has stolen, virtually stolen from his mother. So the Gemara is not happy with this. V'omar, Rabbi Hanan, Bar Molodom, Rav Huna, Eino Chayvet, Sheyikneh, Basar, Bezol, V'yochal, Yayin, Bezol, V'yishteh. We've already seen in the previous sugya that the Machayev of Ben Somar is conditional on the fact that he buys cheap meat or cheap wine, and that's what it gets him addicted. But if he steals meat and wine, he does not become a Ben Soromoto. So if Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is discussing a case where the boy stole food from a prepared meal, that cannot be reconciled with the statement of Rabbi Hanan. There's no reason to assume that this meal that was prepared for his father and his mother is cheap meat and cheap wine. It's normal meat and normal wine. So why would Rabbi Yossi say that he's chayv in such a case? He becomes a ben tzor mela ema, but rather, it's a case of midmei su'uda muchenes li'ov li'imo. It's a case in which the son stole from funds that were set aside for purchasing a meal for his father and his mother, and he used that money to buy cheap meat or cheap wine. And therefore, he's chayv as a ben tzor mela. Ibai same. Another answer: the aknile acher, that someone was makne possessions to his mother, and let's say it was makne money to his mother, and the husband gave the money to his mother. The amar la al menas she'ein lebalech rishus b'hem, and the giver had a condition in the matana, and he said that I want to exclude the rights of the husband to this possession, to this property, this money, and therefore the mother acquires exclusive ownership over this money. If he steals that money, he is chayev as a ben sorer umar. So we're up to the second Mishnah of the three Mishnahs here on Daf Ayin Aleph, and this is the Mishnah of, again, more conditions which are mafkia and pater up to ben sor mor. In this case, aviv rotzeach, etc., etc. The Mirtz Hashem will pick that up in the next year.